When you see judicial rot running rampant and American companies embracing insanity and wokery, you got to fight back, starting with the way that we spend our money. So for years, big mobile companies have dumped millions into leftist causes, and you know, we just kind of took it because another option didn't exist. Well, now one does. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they offer dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks, so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke problem. Propaganda. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT and get free activation today with offer code Dana. Ask about their coverage guarantee as well. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
But the President of the United States can do both things. He can travel overseas and manage our foreign policy and our defense policy and look after our national security commitments in an important region like the Indo-Pacific, and also work with congressional leaders to do the right thing, raise the debt ceiling, avoid default, so that the United States credibility here at home and overseas is preserved.
Well, if he can do two things at once, then why is he not continuing on with his trip, which, by the way, is incredibly important because, as you know, we're supposed to be meeting with Japanese leadership. We're supposed to be meeting, talking over what to do about China because they've grown more and more aggressive. I mean, it's a pretty important meeting, and he was supposed to be over there for a number of days. Now he's got to cut that short, which means there's going to be a lot of missed opportunity for some of this stuff. And all of this, the crazy thing is that all of this could have been avoided. It's Democrats who are playing with this whole situation. Democrats that have been playing with all of this. I was reading about this last night, and I was trying to think what they were going to cut from his schedule to accommodate this, because he had like a number, I mean, it wasn't like a totally packed schedule, but he had a number of meetings, you know, I mean, it was kind of important. Welcome to the show. It is Wednesday, and we've got a lot to hit to get you prepared as we roll in to the end of the week. And I was actually just looking for that list of, because I ran across, I think it was Axios, I think maybe that perhaps had it, of where all he was going to meet. So again, welcome to the show. You can listen to the radio program. You can stream the program. You can watch the simulcast of the program. I know. And you can do all of that on YouTube, Facebook, channel 347, DirecTV. I got it. I remembered. Yeah. So he's going to return from his trip early. He's got to negotiate the debt ceiling. Do you honestly believe that? Okay, let me ask you. You believe that Joe Biden's going to be getting off that plane and cracking his knuckles and going, let's go and have this talk. Let's go and get these negotiations. We're going to negotiate. Wheeler dealers here. We're going to go negotiate. You really think that's going to happen?
Well, the fact that makes me chuckle should tell you something. But he's always said he's not wanting to negotiate. He's not going to negotiate. Yeah. He doesn't want to negotiate on the debt ceiling. He's like, I'm not doing it.
He's like, I want to spend y'all's money.
So now he's doing it? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah. But that's the thing. He should have been doing this the entire time. He was supposed to be negotiating this entire time. He's the leader of the party. That's like literally your one job, right? I mean, you got to go in, you got to deal with this stuff, etc. I mean, that's you have one job. But he's not doing it. And I was watching this, like some of the spin on it, because they're really trying to play up this idea of him being a very, like, because that's how he was presented, right? Like, this is Joe Biden. This is the guy who is going to walk in and get the deal made, get it done. People respect him. That's how it was presented. And that's kind of how they tried to present it, too, when he was running for election. And nobody's buying it. Nobody's buying any of this. Did you see the questions he announced that he was cutting his trip short, and he made some remarks on the debt ceiling. But did you see the remarks that he gave? This was just a little bit ago. where he had said that he was being asked questions. What he took, he took an question, and he left Japan. He left Japan. He's says that he's confident they're going to figure it out. He goes, yeah, we got four good allies. But if we have this, what the hell does he say here at the end? No one knew what he said. He was at the end of his little Q&A, and this just happened right when we were going on air, so bear with us. But they asked a question. He stopped at the door, and he turned around, and he said, and then walked out. And I was like, wait, what? What did he say? Nobody knows what he said. Nobody knows what he said. I wonder if Steve has that. You know how on CSI, the show, or any show that's like forensic thing like that, and they always have like this grainy CCTV footage, and then they use a program that doesn't exist and a capability that we don't actually have, and they blow everything up, and it's like so super sharp. It's crazy. Looks like a telescopic lens was used. So crazy. You can see everything. That doesn't exist. But I do wonder if Steve has some magic like that. Because I really wanted to, because he was asked a question about China. And he went, and then left. I mean, project your voice, Wheeler Dealer. You were the big negotiator. It's what I was told. I was reliably told this. Yeah, play that. This is, we have this. Listen to this. We have it. I think it was, did he say it was 19? Yes, 19. Thank you, Steve.
19.
Do you meet with President Xi soon, sir?
That's my... Soon enough,
all I heard was
you
soon
will be
enough.
Meeting or you will be speaking?
Wait a minute, what the heck did he say?
Yeah, play it again. All I heard was soon enough.
With President Xi soon, sir?
That's my word, soon enough, we will be meeting.
You will be meeting or you will be speaking?
What? Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't. That was it. Boy, that are you? Do you guys feel better now that the fate of the budget's in his hands? He's got all your lives in his hands. He's got.
Stop it.
What is true?
I don't use that. That's,
I know. Kane's immediately.
No.
But you know what I mean, though?
I
don't feel any better about this. So he's returning. He's going to return from his trip. And it seems also the way that it's being reported, like those damn Republicans. Can you believe that they're making him come back early? Can you believe it? Jerks. But the thing is, they passed the bill out of the House. This is all on Democrats. They passed something. Republicans put something together. They got it out of committee. They were trying to get Democrats to go along with it. Democrats are the ones that are dragging their feet. So... I don't know. Now, he did make, this comes from Yahoo, he did make the CCP incredibly happy. They got, when are they not with any decision? He said he's going to veto, he's vetoing a bill. He vetoed this, I love how they're like, it's a bipartisan bill.
It is
a bipartisan bill. But it had to do with manufacturing and solar panels. And this bill was resuming solar tariffs. It was a Congressional Review Act resolution, a CRA, and it would have undone his two-year moratorium on solar tariffs. So in his little veto message, he presented the tariff suspension as essential to achieving the renewable energy goals of the Inflation Reduction Act. You know, because the Inflation Reduction Act is about climate. I don't know, guys. I don't name these bills. They do. And he said that it's all about achieving these renewable goals. So he says, I do not intend to extend the tariff suspension. Oh, the Chinese were incredibly happy. CCP's like, yay. Incredibly happy. I have to tell you a story. We were driving out to West Texas talking about renewable energy. And I don't think our Nana has seen giant, like the wind turbines before. I don't know what she was expecting. God love her. I don't know if she thought it was going to be like a Netherlands in a field of tulips sort of thing, you know? And we were driving by, and I mean, it's beautiful. When you drive out to West Texas, it's just beautiful country. You know, you got paddle cactus, like little shrubby mesquite. I don't want to say trees, but it's just gorgeous out there. Wide open sky. and they have all these turbines, and none of them were moving. And one of the little thingies looked a little bent, more bent than the others. But she was like, my gosh, those are outrageous. She said, they're so huge and they're not spinning. She's like, those are outrageous and they're so ugly. That is God awful. That's sinfully ugly. That's ugly. I was rolling. It was so, but it's true. I had a headline here talking about renewables, how apparently all these bald eagles keep getting killed by these things. What a symbol, if ever there was one, by the way. What a symbol. Nobody's getting prosecuted for it. But heaven forbid you touch an eagle feather. You touch an eagle feather, you're getting a $1,000 plus fine, and that's a felony. I'm literally not kidding. That's actually what it is. So the Biden administration, they found that even when they did their own investigation into some of the solar industry and some of the trade, they were finding that, you know, Chinese companies were violating the law, etc. Of course they were. Do you honestly think that Chinese companies are going to adhere to any kind of environmentally conscious law? I mean, these are people that have pink lakes because of the chemical offset from the dangerous way in which they extract rare earth minerals. Do you honestly believe the rare earth elements? Do you honestly believe that they don't care? What are you going to do? Go over and police them? Little Tiananmen Square to you. They don't allow any dissent. All speech, all dissent, all disagreement shut down. So they're never going to be held accountable. They're just continually celebrated. And this does it, he just Biden rewarded them with this, saying, I'm not going to continue these tariffs. He rewarded them with this. Now, in addition, yesterday, because, you know, big news, everybody has been talking about the Durham report, right? So you thought that would, you know, be a real big thing. Big news item, Kane. Yes, a big news item for the White House spokesperson. Big time news, guys. So Karine Jean-Pierre was asked a question about this Durham report. Ladies and gentlemen, audio soundbite 4. Here is her amazing answer.
What is the White House reaction to Special Counsel Durham's report on how the FBI handled the Trump-Russia probe?
I would leave it to the Department of Justice to speak to.
The President talks often about how he wants the DOJ and FBI to remain independent and above the fray. That report seems to reflect the opposite. Does he agree with Special Counsel Durham that there needs to be wholesale changes at the FBI?
Again, that is with the Department of Justice. That's not something that I'm going to speak from the podium. As you just stated in your question, we believe in an independent Department of Justice. That's what the president said when he was running, and that's what the president has said the last 2 years. No. Thank you so much. I'll see you guys.
She took her book and left.
Yeah, she's so bad.
No, I'm going to have to refer to you to the Department of Justice. I'm going to have to refer to you to the Department of Justice. We believe in an independent Department of Justice, except when you're colluding with them to work with the FBI and surveil people because you don't like their politics. Except that's a little bit, you know, that's a little,
little bit different.
That's right. So we have a lot to hit. Still, we got to get into more on the president cutting his trip short, the ongoing debt ceiling. We have also, too, I got wokery for you. I've got wokery. I've got Democrats. We've got a whole bunch of things. Oh, and then the near-fatal chase involving the suitcase game show girl and the ginger spare didn't happen. Summer is almost here, and Good Ranchers wants to give you what you've been craving, a beautiful, tasty steak for the grill. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. I like how everything comes vacuum sealed and it all tastes great. Every cut is sourced from local American farms and is hand-cut, trimmed, and aged to perfection. Good Ranchers is proud to be your trusted source for high-quality all-American meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and pick your box. They have ribeye, New York strip, all-natural burgers, and all the delicious chicken you could ever want. Plus, it's all $30 off with my code DANA. This is the perfect time of year to easily change the way you buy meat. Visit GoodRanchers.com and use my code DANA for $30 off of any box and make this summer one to remember. Remember, with American meat delivered right to your door from GoodRanchers.com. Nothing says quality time with family and friends better than an all-American steak from Good Ranchers. Use my code DANA for $30 off at GoodRanchers.com today.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A creepy barnacle-covered demon doll was found, and now you can own one. put it back. Put it back. Just saying, put it back. So, yeah, it was found, like, there was, like, a whole package of them that I guess they were all washed up, found on this Texas beach. They're now actually headed to auction to raise money for local wildlife rehabilitation, which is a great way to turn that around, by the way. But they called them creepy plastic demon babies, and they were found along a 40-mile stretch in southern Texas. They had rocks, barnacles, other debris in their hollowed-out eye sockets. They were missing limbs. It sounds like Garbage Pail Kids. Remember those? Those were the bomb. They said that a very long name for some, like, environmental, like, research reserve at UT. It's a really long name. I'm not reading it. They said the eerie findings were discovered during one of their weekly surveys of the beach. They were looking for stranded sea turtles on Mustang Island. They're disgusting. They have the barnacles in the eyes, and it's just some of the... I mean, it is creepy, and it's stuff, like, that horror films are made of, and I don't... It's gross. I don't know. But they're auctioning it off, so you can have one of these creepy things, you know, like, in your house. So, you know, if that's your jam, you can do it. I hope you don't have company. No one believes this. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, the suitcase girl and the spare, were involved in a catastrophic near-fatal drama. The paparazzi chased them. Well, you know, you can't sit here and call Backgrid for your photos all the time for them to come out and, like, take pictures of you so then you can merch out the stuff that you're being paid to wear and get photographed in. You know, that sometimes that can, like, turn around on you. But they said that they were chased for 2 hours in Manhattan by paparazzi. And as someone who has worked in Manhattan, how in the hell do you get chased for 2 hours in Manhattan? There's not even enough roadway in Manhattan for 2 hours. It's just the traffic. How do you get... I don't understand how that works. I like what Keira Davis said. Was it the driver? Was the paparazzi driver wearing a red hat yelling, "This is MAGA country"? Just wondering. Just wondering for everybody. We're all asking these questions. Former AOC aide, this will surprise you, I'm sure, is now the boss of the New York City Communist Party. Justine Medina is officially the boss of the Commie Party in New York. And Bud Light is having to give away cases of booze. They're still struggling. They're giving away cases of booze, guys. No one wants it still. Stay with us. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
If someone told you the recession started today, would you change anything about your daily life? Has the big recession monster already arrived? Don't be fooled by what you read. Stocks tend to outperform during a recession anyways. Make sure you're getting the most trustful information. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
YouTube, Facebook, or DirecTV. If you're looking for the number one afternoon host in the country, you've found her. Download the podcast every day to catch up. The Dana Show.
Yeah, I can see your bank went broke.
Who enjoyed watching your bank went and broke. Participating.
Well, how much time did you spend? You conducted pronoun seminars, didn't you? What's a pronoun seminar?
Introduced a seminar organized by 300 of my colleagues just as I went to ping pong tournaments.
Yeah, but tell me what it is. You spent a lot of time doing pronoun seminars, lecturing people about how they ought to use the right pronoun, gender neutral pronouns, didn't you?
I actually spent no time beyond introducing that.
Well, I could show the seminars, but I won't do it.
That's Senator Kennedy from Louisiana. He is just ripping that chair of Signature Bank a new one. over the pronoun seminars. He's, yeah, they hosted, I'm going to go back to March 14th. The signature bank boss hosted a company seminar on gender neutral pronouns Z and here. We got to come back to that. First off, welcome back. Dana Lash here with you. Okay, now back to the pronoun thing. Okay, this sounds, it sounds like a, like you have a, like a, like you, I don't know, have a bad accent or something. I don't understand. It's the pronouns are, they hold, the, what? I don't know how you pronounce this. They held a seminar on gender neutral pronouns, Z, Z-E, and here, H-I-R. How do you say that? Here. Like, is it E? Here.
Here.
Her.
It can't be her because her's bad, right?
I mean, so, is it like her, like Nelly?
It can't be him. So
like hot and her? Is it like that? Like St. Louis? Like, is it? I mean, how is it?
Her?
Her?
No, probably her.
That sounds like there's an A
like
in there.
Like hair, but without the A?
What happened to Zer? I thought it was Z and Zer.
I never knew about those either.
So wait a minute. You mean it makes it less? Guys, I have a great way to make these pronouns less offensive. Hmm? So like with her, we're just going to switch the vowel in the middle. So that's it. Yeah. Okay. Genius. Genius idea. And we're going to switch the consonant in Z and he. So instead of he, it's Z. See? It's like Beavis and Butthead stuff.
It's so different.
Here. And then you sound dumb. My pronouns are Z and her. What? You know what that means. So I love it because it sounds the way that they explained it and their thing. It you know what it reminded me of? So one of my, what I love, I don't think there's only one Tim Burton movie that I'm kind of ambivalent on, and that was the Willy Wonka, only because I just have such a devotion to Gene Wilder. But Tim Burton, I think, like Tim Burton, Quentin Tarantino, some of the best directors ever out there. Anyway, Burton's, he did Pee-wee's Big Adventure, right? Big Top Pee-wee, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And I love it when he went to the Alamo and Jan Hooks was giving the tour. And it's hysterical because Jan Hooks was giving the tour and it was mostly like Mexican-American tourists who were there who clearly could probably speak Spanish. And she was trying to basically tell people how to pronounce Spanish words. It was hysterical. But I get the same vibe from the video seminar where you have these bank execs up there going, Z and her, like Jan Hooks telling people, this is an authentic Mexican tortilla. Can y'all say tortilla in the Pee-wee's Big Adventure movie? That's what they're doing. I mean, you've got this very uncomfortable looking dude up there. His tie's crooked. And he's going, well, you know, the list of pronouns. And he's going down the list of pronouns. And it honestly sounds like he's reading a Lewis Carroll poem. And Z is another gender neutral pronoun. The other part of that would be her. I'm going to say it like that. H-I-R. Z and her. And you got to make that face. You have to. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, maybe they should have worried a little bit more about, I don't know, banking. Yeah. But then they do have this guy. It was a seminar, a corporate consultant on gender issues. And he looks like he should be in the unemployment line because he's got frosted tips. He's got a Hitler stash, frosted tips. And I just hate everything about his appearance. Yeah, I'm going to drop this in Slack. I just feel like you shouldn't take like lectures from people who don't know how to dress themselves. I'm going to be really superficial for a second. It's almost Friday. We're halfway there. Yeah, look at the guy. Look at the guy. Am I wrong, Kane?
No.
Am I wrong? First of all, who does their hair like that? That's not a color found in nature.
No.
It's a blonde color. Juan's going to throw it up for you simulcast viewers. Tell the radio listeners, describe that color of hair for them, Kane, the guy who's hosting the seminar.
Let's say you started with brown hair, and then you doused your head in hydrogen peroxide for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then you dried it off.
That's the process. I mean, his name is Finn Brigham, and he was a corporate consultant on gender. He's going to come in to tell everybody about your privates. And he hosted this whole thing about pronouns. And they had literally, how do you do a whole video? It was over an hour long.
What?
Dude, the video that Kennedy was questioning him. The video was over an hour long. And they, one of the options was just my name. Shut up. I got a pronoun. I'm just saying. I can't say it because it'd be like, oh, that over there. That's what it'd be. That's a pronoun.
Oh,
yeah.
God bless strategic mute.
Right? I mean, yo, what's your pronouns? Z here and that there. That guy. Person. Pat from SNL. See, this is one of the banks. You have Signature, Silicon Valley, you got all these banks that ran into some issues. They didn't have any liquidity. Because all their liquidity was in their pronouns. An hour-long video. I feel like if you're ever going to have an adult tantrum, which is just your personal riot, I don't believe in words like tantrums for adults. I just believe in like the phrase personal riot. I just think that, oh my gosh, put that down. It so is. But we're going to trademark this right now. So you guys, whenever you're mad about something, you're not having a tantrum. If you're an adult, you know how like crazy is the word for poor people. Eccentric is for like the rich people, right? They can be eccentric. Whereas if you're broke, you're just crazy. So if you're an adult, if you're a child, it's a tantrum. If you're an adult, it's just a personal riot. That's all. So I'm just thinking, if you were ever to have a personal riot, it would be at a company meeting like this where you have to endure an hour plus long video about pronouns given by people who look like they stepped out of the Sprockets skit from SNL. A tiny handful of you are going to get that reference, but you know what I mean? It'll be worth it. So that's just one of the things that's happening, right? Long story short, finally bringing the tugboat to shore. That's what Kennedy was talking about when he's questioning this guy, right? That's what he's talking about. So Bud Light, speaking of woke, guys, they think they're going to bring everybody. They think they're going to bring you back. So here's the thing. They figured it out. Guys, this is what we're doing. Okay. Like if you were looking inside the board meeting. We're going to put camo on the bottles. What? Yes. That's a brilliant idea, Bob. Thank you, Stan. We're putting camo on all the bottles because we know these right-wingers love them some camo. Yes, they do, Bob. They love camo. It's amazing. And then they said they're going to also add images honoring fallen veterans. Anything that they can do to come back from that disaster. So their Budweiser packaging is getting a redesign. Now, I will say, this is a group that we've worked with before, Folds of Honor. They're putting Folds of Honor. They're working with Folds of Honor for it. You know why this doesn't hit? You know why? Because they have not recognized what they did initially. And I think if they had done that, even poke fun at themselves for it, people would have gotten over it. The people who you need to all come talk to me about your ads. You know, it might cost you a bit, but you need to come talk to me about y'all's ads. There's a number of things they could have done. They could have poked some fun at themselves, right? They could have acknowledged the fact that women are not caricatures. And that was the big thing. And I gotta say, I gotta give a hand to all the dudes out there. Cause there are a lot of dudes that stopped drinking Bud Light because of this. And I think it's cool the way they did it, because the way that I view it is that they were stepping up for the ladies, because the ladies saw a dude instead of putting like a female athlete up there. The ladies saw a dude who cosplays as a chick, goes in woman face, as a Tyrus first quoted, goes in woman face. And it was a caricature of how women act. No woman acts like that. And first off, no woman gets in a bathtub with a top on. But anyway, no woman acts like that. Full makeup and everything. Are you kidding me? And the men stepped up, because I think it's probably more dudes than chicks that drink Bud Light. And there were a lot of dudes that had to step up in order for them to feel this kind of sting. So on behalf of the ladies, I give you thanks. Thank you for sticking up for us. That's very chivalrous and very kind of you. All the ways that you did it too. Now they're scrambling to regain regain all of you back, though. They're like, guys, we're just going to put some camo on it. Now, I like that they're doing images of Folds of Honor. But I also think that they're hiding behind Folds of Honor. And again, we donate to them, we work with them. I think they're trying to hide behind Folds of Honor to avoid accountability. Here's the thing. We're not, and I want to make it straight, this is not petty. We're not looking at this like, I want an apology, I demand this and this. I think the move of what they did was harmful to women. I think it was harmful to women because how are you going to sit here and say that you're mad over chicks in, you know, bikinis advertising beer, but you're okay with a dude who is trying to be sexually alluring as a woman in cosplay in the bathtub with, you know, carefully applied bubbles and, you know, frolicking around in a bathtub with a, for the lack of a better way to put it, a charcuterie tier of beer. You know what I mean? It was mockery. And they don't I don't know if they don't understand it or if they think that it's a weakness to apologize. And women are not looking, we're not demanding, oh, apologize us and then we're never to us and we're never going to forgive you. We just want you to recognize that we exist and that we deserve better than being made fun of like that. Because that dude is just making fun of chicks. I don't care how you view it. I view it as this dude's making fun of chicks. No chick acts like that. You take all of the worst, ridiculous aspects, stereotypes, characteristics of what you think a chick is, and you turn it into a caricature. It's silly. It's like vaudeville offensive. And they don't appreciate that. I think making some strike, like if they came out and they had like Riley Gaines in an ad, or they had even Martina how do you say her name? Navratilova. You know, they had all different types of people. You know, the chicks in the bikinis, the frat bros, the dad bods, the moms, everybody, the grands. Get everybody out there, right? Focus on the unity of all these different people toasting with some Bud Light. That goes a long way because you're acknowledging that they exist. You're also saying, you know what, we messed up. Kind of poke some fun at yourself. That's all people are looking for. They're just looking for recognition of that. That's it. Women are worth more than how they've handled it. We have a lot more on the way, including we've got Democrats. Fetterman is having a rough time as chair of his committee. We got to discuss that a little bit. We have more woke. We also have law and order, media, all kinds of stuff. And why do people organize their pantries like psychos?
Catch The Dana Show noon to 3 p.m. Eastern on DirecTV Channel 347.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
One of my favorite dishes probably is gumbo.
Okay.
I love gumbo.
Yeah.
So I was raised by my mother, and then we had a second mother, Miss Shelton, who's from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. She made the best gumbo. And I have been a lifelong gumbo apprentice, learning how to make gumbo my whole life.
Okay.
I never mastered it like she did. But that's one of my favorite foods, probably.
I always have to wonder when, and that's Kamala Harris, like you need to be told that. I always have to wonder, whenever you hear reporters go, okay. Usually that's a sign that they ain't buying it. But I don't know what it means in this, because hers was a, okay, at first, and then it kind of lost enthusiasm. So I don't know. I don't know. Welcome back to the program. Dana last year. So we're supposed to believe that Kamala Harris is a lifelong gumbo. I mean, look, she at least knew where to go to get her kitchen accoutrements in Paris. Remember, she was up there for some meetings and stuff. And she stopped in Julia Child's old school. I mean, that's an old school cookery store. It's been around forever. That's where you go if you're serious. You don't go in there to look at stuff like going into Williams Sonoma. I'm going to go get the fancy copper that I don't know how to cook with and I'll probably ruin. So I'm just going to leave it on my stovetop. I mean, I kind of get the, and I do not interpret this as me liking anything about, I'm just saying she may, but why is it? Here's my thing though, with the soundbite, every single soundbite that she has is just completely devoid of anything heavy, anything meaty. It's all goofy stuff. I mean, I'll give her credit for not saying, well, we've been unburdened. I've been unburdened by what has been in gumbo. I mean, I'll give her the credit for not including that phrase somehow in this answer. It was one of the first that we've heard from her in some time where she hasn't. But my point is that she, I don't care if she's asked superficial questions. She, if she's the powerful woman that everyone says she is, she would find a way to redirect that back towards something that's substantial. And she never does. She just says, that's what it, I just don't, it's weird to me. It's weird. So I don't know. That's my whole beef with that. All right. So coming up, we've got a lot in store. We've got wokery. Apparently the ginger and the suitcase girlfriend wife, the suitcase wife, were chased hours by paparazzi in New York and no one saw. Stay with us. I have some exciting news for those of you who wish that you could be nearer to Hillsdale College. Now, you can be a part of Hillsdale, no matter where you are in the world. In addition to their free online courses, Hillsdale College has created something new, the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. It allows you to learn even more from Hillsdale anywhere at any time. And on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network, you'll hear podcasts that feature conversations with Hillsdale College faculty, staff, friends, alumni, as well as visiting speakers and authors discussing everything from philosophy to theology to history, economics, politics, and current events. Listen to hundreds of episodes on the network, from the Hillsdale Dialogues to the radio-free Hillsdale Hour to the Larry Arnn Show, all for free. Get informed and entertained at Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com, and learn more about their free online courses and the new Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Hillsdale College, developing minds, changing hearts.
Is it a staggering responsibility that that the head of a bank could literally crash our economy? It's astonishing. That's like if you have, I mean, like, and they also realize is that now they have, it's in a guaranteed way to be saved by how, you know. So it's you know, isn't it appropriate that this kind of control should be more stricter to prevent this kind of thing from going? Or should we just go on and start bailing and sailing whoever bank, regardless of how their conduct is?
Oh, that's rough stuff. That's John Fetterman, who is chairing a committee and is on the struggle bus a little bit there. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom or top of this second hour. And you can listen to the radio program across the country. You can stream it. You can watch the simulcast, DirecTV, Channel 347, YouTube, Facebook. Always good discussions at YouTube, too. He is really struggling. I don't know how he can do this job. I mean, I would imagine that's part of the stress, right? Yeah. I mean, you're on this... you're not on the committee. You're the chair of the committee. And you're struggling to lead conversation about these issues, these bills, everything else. That's a huge problem. I wonder if that's... You know, we were talking with... Ken and I were talking before we came back from break, saying that maybe part of the reason... Maybe he did have depression. Maybe he was just depressed that he kept having to do this job when he knows that he's struggling so much to just, you know, barely get through. I don't even know if he's getting through. It's sad. It's just incredibly sad. They're worried about Feinstein, and they want her to leave. They are saying nothing about him because they want Feinstein. They can easily replace Feinstein. She's on the Judiciary Committee, and they want to undo a lot of what was done under the Trump administration with redoing or reshaping the judicial branch. A lot of those appointments and confirmations. Mm-mm-mm. Now, coming up at the bottom of our hour, we're going to talk with Representative James Comer over the Biden family influence peddling and everything else. There's a lot to discuss there. That's not something that the White House wants to discuss. I mean, he gave an interview where he was saying that one of the whistleblowers they couldn't find, and the media tried to make a big thing out of that. We're going to talk to him about that. But also, what we told you yesterday, the entire investigative team was removed from the Hunter Biden case, and this was the this specifically was the case with the IRS going back to 2018 with the suspicious activity reports and whether or not they disclosed all this money from China and all these other foreign actors. That investigative team was removed. And I'm wondering, it kind of makes, now I even if I were to ask him this, I know he, if the answer was affirmative, I know he couldn't say so because whistleblower protections, but it makes me wonder if one of the whistleblowers wasn't involved in that. Yes, Kane? Why did you have that look?
No, it was a notification that I got. It had nothing to do with
it. Okay, because you look like you had like the best comeback ever. No. Like you got excited about something. No. It was like there. You've turned your face turned into the sun from the Teletubbies.
I know. It did. I felt.
The baby face sun.
I feel it's even warm right now to the touch.
You beamed out light. That was weird, dude.
It was, but it was something else. Sorry.
That was an explosion of joy. And I was like, Kane, it clearly has the best comeback ever. Because every now and then he looks like that. He looks like a Warner Brothers character that got big old eyes and he gets all excited.
I'm just multitasking. That's what I'm doing.
Golly, that was funny. I wish it was on video. I really wish it was on video. That's like an anime moment. So James Comer, he's going to be on, as I said, at the bottom of the hour. It kind of makes you wonder, is the whistleblower one of the, were they on that team and it was found out and they were removed? Like, how do you remove an entire team? Why would you remove an entire team? What is the purpose of removing the entire investigative team that's been working this case from the get-go? Punishment? I mean, it could be just that petty. It could be just something as simple as that. We're going to talk to Comer about that. Because now on top of this, the FBI leaders, because you have that case, contrast all of the evidence that we have with that case with none of the evidence that existed with the Russia collusion. FBI agents that worked on that probe, they are livid. They said that they were ordered to not put anything in writing, and it was the most inappropriate operational or professional statement that they've ever seen when they were told to not do that. Agents working on the Crossfire Hurricane investigation said that all of the leaders, all of these bureaucratic leaders, were concealing the intelligence on Hillary's role, meaning these agents were not told that the DNC, and this is proven, they've already had to pay the fine. I don't know why some of the left out there is arguing that this doesn't exist. They literally were fined for not disclosing that it was campaign oppo that they used and were laundering in the press, and that they didn't disclose this with Perkins Coie or Fusion GPS. They already admitted to this. They were fined for it. And we also know from two different IGs that there would not have been any FISA warrant without the Steele dossier. And these agents are mad. They said that they were told, or they were, that it was concealed from them, that the DNC and that Hillary Clinton paid for this, and this was their oppo. And that the FBI, they didn't even know, apparently, that the upper echelon of the FBI couldn't verify it. Now, I shared with you, and I included this, if you get the newsletter I sent out, was it yesterday or the night before? The day that it came out, I read the Durham Report, and I had screenshotted some choice takeaways for you, including, I think it was page 101 and 102, the conversation between the agents. They were special messages in the FBI's messaging system about the Crossfire Hurricane investigation, excuse me, and they were saying that they were having difficulty determining whether or not the information that they were using and evaluating was actually true. Information that was through their determinations would be presented to the FISA court to get that surveillance warrant. And they were talking back and forth to each other. They were concerned that it wasn't factual. And they also noted how there was a lot of pressure from James Comey. They didn't mention him, but later on, there are messages from Comey to agents like these saying, what do you got? Can we get the warrant yet? Can we get the warrant yet? They were under a lot of pressure to deliver. And these agents are livid because now they know that the sources that all of this information that they were getting, now they know that it was all paid for by the Clinton campaign. Now they know. And they said that they would have been way more skeptical had they known. They said they were dismayed. Some of the agents are, they're livid. Luke Rosiak apparently spoke to some. and to protect their identities. He said they, I mean, words like dismayed. They said that they thought that they wondered whether or not the information that they saw initially was an exaggeration or just fabrication. And their gut instincts were correct. And they were being told to overrule that by the upper echelon, by the leadership. They knew. So here's the issue, because when a lot of people say we need to just completely, we have to totally just destroy the FBI. I get both sides of this, and I don't know where I fall yet. I think, yeah, here's why I lean towards yes. The leadership is so bad, it doesn't matter how good the agents on the ground are. Does that make sense? I don't know that the good agents themselves, by themselves, can rebuild something that has been so tarnished by the petty politics and outright propaganda and anti-American behavior of their leaders, of their leadership in the Bureau. I just don't know if that can be done. So these agents clearly were really trying to do their job. And Durham even notes that. They apparently, you get the sense that some of these agents were probably criticized by the brass because they weren't moving fast enough. Comey kept demanding. He wanted, when can we get it? I mean, he literally, that was one of the things that Durham in the report included. So how is that going to be rectified? I know. Now, I have this, Law and Order. Let's get into some Law and Order here. Man, I've got a headline on Jordan Neely as well. So with Law and Order, this New York City is going to spend $225 million for 1,025 hotel rooms for illegal immigrants for 36 months at a rate of $200 a night. That's $220,000 per hotel room for a three-year period. That's about $73,000 per year for one room. According to, this is something the New York Post reported, that they're looking at a $225 million deal to house people who entered illegally in the Roosevelt Hotel, which is a nice hotel. I mean, and people are mad. People are mad. And it reminds me of that meme, right? Remember that meme? Maybe you don't. It's from 2015. It goes like this, quote, "I never thought leopards would eat my face," sobs woman who voted for the Leopards Eating People's Faces party.
So true.
Right?
So true.
I mean, what do you get? Now, speaking of New York, so Al Sharpton is going to deliver the Jordan Neely eulogy. Yeah. They hired a super pricey PR firm, the Neely family. Yeah, the people who couldn't show up to, they said they want to honor his memory, but they couldn't show up to honor his life when he needed it. I mean, let's go ahead and look at it through the press's eyes. He's starving and homeless, and his family's nowhere to be found until they think they can get some money out of some kind of settlement if they run this on a racial perspective. That's what this is all about. And so they have Al Sharpton, who's going to show up. Man, Al Sharpton is as much a reverend as Dylan Mulvaney is a chick. Again, it's trans reverendism. That's what he's doing right there. He's just, you know, he identifies as a reverend. So he's delivering the eulogy. And you know this is going to, it's going to be a spectacle. Absolute spectacle. Not a bit is going to be offered towards Neely's victims previously. You know, the woman who was punched in the face and all the other people that have been assaulted, but particularly the 67-year-old woman who was injured when he punched her in the face. I wonder what she's going to get out of all this. Huh. Nobody seemed to stop to ask. We have more on the way. We've got headlines coming up. And then we got Representative James Comer. You don't want to miss that conversation. The KS7 from Kel-Tec might be short and slim on the outside, but it's long under the hood with its 18.5-inch barrel packed into its bullpup design. It's ready for home defense, backcountry hiking, or anywhere you need a compact 12-gauge shotgun. The KS7 is lightweight with a magazine capacity of 6+1 or 7+1, depending on shell size. Easy to handle with rear loading and downward ejection. solution and standard carry handle that doubles as a sighting solution. Every KS7 produced at Kel-Tec is made in the USA by a team who takes pride in their work and believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms. Every KS7 comes with a lifetime warranty with proof of purchase as original owner. Defend what matters most to you with the KS7 shotgun available through Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's KelTecWeapons.com. And sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right. So first up, we got a lot. A man, he travels to Seattle and is immediately stabbed. Like literally within 2 hours of arriving in Seattle, he was stabbed. His quote, "Didn't expect any of these issues," per Daily Wire. Laurel Dugan, an East Coast attorney visiting Seattle on business, said that he was surprised by the city's rampant crime and homelessness after he was stabbed in an attempted mugging. This was on May 7th, according to KOMO News. Joshua Pond was stabbed outside of a Courtyard Marriott hotel in downtown Seattle 2 hours after arriving in the city. He was waiting for his rideshare to take him and his colleague to dinner. The individual, Joe Quimbo, was arrested for the alleged assault, or stabbing, you mean? He was convicted for he's been previously convicted for numerous charges: burglary, malicious mischief, having knives on him, all kinds of stuff. Ponce told the Seattle outlet that he was just surprised about this. Really? I mean, have you been under a rock? If you own a Jeep Cherokee, well, apparently you're told to not park it in the garage and call your dealer. That's what people are being told, because apparently they're having a recall. According to Channel 11 WTOL, that's that affiliate, NAP, Stellantis is telling owners of 222,000 Jeep Cherokees that they need to be parked outdoors and park away from other vehicles because the power lift gates can catch fire even when the engines are off. So they're recalling certain Cherokees from the model years 2014 through 2016. They said that water can get into the liftgate control computer, cause an electrical short, and that can touch off of a fire. They're still working to develop a fix, but they said owners are getting notification letters starting June 30th. It seems a long way off, so you might want to just check your stuff. New York Post reports that a brawl broke out at Disney World after a family refused to move for a photo op. Oh, wow. One family asked another family if they could scooch over so they could take a photo in front of the park's 100th anniversary sign. And apparently the one family didn't want to accommodate, and so they began yelling and cursing at each other. The workers and security had to get involved and split them up. One guy got knocked to the ground. Really, is it that important? It's Disney World. I mean, you're just lucky they didn't have a drag queen come out and shake their bits in front of your kids. It's true. True story. I mean, that's, also, hold this up. This is very interesting. I saw this from my friend Lachlan Marquet. OpenAI is working on building a machine learning classifier that's going to flag when ChatGPT is asked to generate large volumes of text that appear related to electoral campaigns or lobbying. It's a company that advertised how it would use ChatGPT to boost the multi-billion dollar lobbying and advocacy industry. And OpenAI said, to clarify, they only want grassroots organizations to use it. Up next, Congressman James Comer.
Between Twitter, Facebook, or any of your social media, there's a lot of information out there. That's why your lovable curmudgeon is here to help you make sense of it all. Live or on demand, The Dana Show.
There's nothing new here. And what he does present in the report, though, I will give him credit for this. He's entirely consistent with the prejudging of this investigation that he communicated, a month or so into starting it. We knew from the very beginning exactly what John Durham was going to conclude, and that's what we saw today. We knew from the very beginning this was never a legitimate investigation. This was a political errand to exact some sort of retribution on Donald Trump's perceived enemies in the FBI. That's what Mr. Durham has done.
This is the fact that Andy McCabe still has a contributorship with CNN is amazing to me. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen to the radio show Coast to Coast on an affiliate near you. You can stream it. You can also watch the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. If you look at the evidence in the case with the Durham report, if you look at the evidence with what House Oversight has been doing and you compare it to the Russian collusion stuff, I mean, there's actual evidence and receipts and everything else that House Oversight has. Joining us right now, the chairman of the GOP House Oversight Committee, James Comer. Representative Comer, it is a pleasure to have you. We appreciate your hard work and your diligence in running this story out. You had the press conference earlier. We were all watching. There is a lot here to not only continue to substantiate the investigation, but there are more questions that are coming out from this, because as you were highlighting, Congressman, you have the Biden family, Hunter Biden. A bunch of these companies, they were getting money from, you know, foreign nationals, getting money from CEFC with China, a CCP basically owned energy company. I think the question is, what did they get for all of this money that they were hiding in all of these different companies that led to those suspicious activity reports? What did they get for that money?
Yeah, well, the banks were clear that they suspected there was a money laundering operation going on. And when you have a bunch of different LLCs that seem to pose as no legitimate business, simply a pass-through entity for money from foreign nationals, then that makes the banks nervous. And that's what the banks indicated in all of those bank violations that they reported to Treasury. Look, there are multiple banks and they all said the same thing. And when you look at what large amount of money the Biden family received, the question that everyone in the media should be asking President Biden when he's in front of a reporter is, what exactly did your family do to receive all this money? I mean, you can say, well, Hunter Biden was a lobbyist for the Chinese Communist Party. Well, as bad as that is, that's still a felony because that's a foreign agent and he's not registered as a foreign agent. And people go to jail all the time for taking money from foreign entities that aren't registered as foreign agents. Next, what did his grandchild do to receive money from a foreign national? What did his in-laws and nieces and nephews, what did they do? Now, obviously, Romania and China expected to get a return on their investment. I don't believe there's anything any of those nine Biden family members could do to provide that type of return on investment. The only one that could provide that type of return is Joe Biden.
And that's right. And it was interesting, too, you pointed out as well, we're talking with Congressman James Comer from the great state of Kentucky, chair of House Oversight. One of the things that you pointed out as well, Congressman, is that the checks or the money from Romania, correct me if I'm wrong on this, that stopped when Joe Biden left the office of the vice president.
Exactly. That's another point. The media, in their never-ending defense of Joe Biden, always said, once the laptop was proven to be real, well, okay, maybe Hunter Biden was doing some shady things, but none of that money ever went to the Bidens when Joe Biden was in office. That's not true. A lot of the Chinese money came to the Biden family when Joe Biden was vice president. A lot of those LLCs, those fake companies that the Biden set up just for no other purpose, apparently, than to launder money from the foreign nationals, they were incorporated when Joe Biden was vice president. And then 16 of the 17 payments from Romania to the Biden family members happened when Joe Biden was vice president. The last one happened just days after he left the vice presidency. And then they dropped the Bidens. Once Joe Biden was out of office, they never had anything to do with him again. So there's a pattern here of influence peddling. And we need to know, what exactly did Joe Biden provide in terms of influence to our adversaries around the world?
And especially with regards to China, this becomes a national security issue as well, because I believe when the Rosemont Seneca, when they were working with CEFC, I think it was that relationship that facilitated China's acquisition of one of the biggest cobalt mines in the world in the People's Democratic Republic of Congo. That's, I mean, when you talk about the Green New Agenda and making us, you know, subservient essentially in that regard in energy to China, that's a national security issue.
Absolutely. And Hunter Biden said he never got paid on that deal, and he did get paid on that deal. But regardless, what was Hunter Biden doing for CEFC? Because, you know, that was legitimate work. Mm-hmm. Again, he essentially served as a lobbyist. CEFC's owned by the Chinese Communist Party. What were they trying to do when they were in operation? They were trying to buy any type of industry they could buy, whether it's a rare earth mineral industry like the one you mentioned in Congo. They were trying to buy all the rare earth mineral mines in the United States. They were trying to buy ownership in infrastructure companies for the natural gas industry, the drillers, in other words, for natural gas. They were also trying to buy farmland. And look, everyone in America is upset and in agreement. They don't want China to buy farmland in the United States. Hunter Biden was trying to help them do that. That's according to Bob Alinsky and some of the other associates who have said publicly what exactly was Hunter Biden doing for CFC. He was trying to do all the things we're trying to prevent China from doing in Congress in a bipartisan way. The Biden family was getting paid by the enemy to do things that were in our nation's worst interest from a national security standpoint.
We're talking with Congressman James Comer, chair of the House Oversight Committee. You noted, this came out the other day, the entire investigative team looking into this, because this case, I believe, because of the 170-plus suspicious activity reports that triggered this investigation going back to 2018, how the entire team was removed from this case. A whistleblower said that this was retaliation. How does an entire team get removed from investigating this?
Well, this just shows how out of control the deep state is. They did it because they can. They did it because they can get away with it. The mainstream media is not going to report on it. They know the Senate's still controlled by the Democrat. So if the House went to some extreme measure and tried to impeach somebody, the Senate would never convict. They know this. And thanks to a lot of our Republican friends in the Senate, their budget's funded for several more months. So they're going to continue to cover up. And they're so blatant and arrogant about it, they don't care that everybody in the world sees it. They think, all right, the media is going to always get our back. And the Republicans in the Senate, at the end of the day, when we're backs against the wall for a debt ceiling negotiation or budget standoff, they'll always go along and do the bipartisan thing. And they think they can continue to get away with it. But that is retaliation against the whistleblower. And that's one thing that should be bipartisan in Congress. Public corruption is a bipartisan issue. Everyone should be opposed to that. And if you have a whistleblower brave enough to come forward to report wrongdoing, then at the very least, you don't retaliate against them. The IRS not only retaliated, they did it publicly and proudly.
Yeah. You had mentioned, talking with Congressman James Comer, you had mentioned one of the whistleblowers. The media was going crazy over this. You said, you tweeted in response to MSNBC's reporting, you said, you don't watch them, but apparently they've been running stories saying the Grassley whistleblower is missing. You added, I'm sorry to disappoint the liberal defenders of taking bribes for cash, but the Grassley whistleblower is alive and well. Clarify this for us, because this is what they ran with. And I mean, I know you saw you were trending the other day.
Yeah. I didn't know. Somebody had to tell me. There was all these protesters outside, and little Murkowski does his little stunt with a poster board saying the missing whistleblower. I didn't know what they were talking about. Somebody said, you know what Rachel Maddow, whatever her name is, said? I said, no, I don't watch her. Nobody in my district watches her. But said that Homer said the whistleblower is missing. There are a lot of whistleblowers. And what they were referring to was an interview I did on Maria Bartiromo. Mm-hmm. I was talking about a whistleblower from Israel on an old whistleblower that dates back to when Trump was president. There are many whistleblowers, but the one that's, I think, of the most importance right now is the one we're trying to get information from the FBI with the Form 1023. That is the Grassley whistleblower. That's what I call this whistleblower. You have the IRS whistleblower and the Grassley whistleblower, two different whistleblowers. The Grassley whistleblower is alive and well. But I was talking about an old whistleblower, and I think that's what the media misunderstood. So MSNBC was celebrating. I don't know if they were hoping that the whistleblower was dead somewhere so that they had been murdered, or if they thought, well, Comer just made it up. Yeah. But let me be very clear. The Grassley whistleblower, the one that I issued the subpoena to Christopher Wray for information on, that whistleblower is alive and well. So MSNBC, you know, on top of all the Durham report, on top of the Steele dossier, all the bull crap that they've reported, this is another instance of fake news. So MSNBC continues to have a bad week.
Yeah, and will continue. Still, we're talking with Congressman James Comer, chair of House Oversight, on all of this with the Biden investigation. And you know, one quick thing, and then I'll move on, and we just got a couple more questions. We were talking just a moment ago about the team that was removed from investigating this. Are you concerned that this is going to kneecap the investigation? What happens after this?
We're going to continue to have press conferences. Eventually, I think the media is going to have to report on it, because 70% of the American people are following this. Rasmussen came out with a poll. They're concerned. Americans are concerned about public corruption, and especially independent voters. They don't care if they're Democrat or Republican. They despise politicians on the take, corrupt politicians. And what we are accusing the Biden family of is public corruption here. So they're watching this. They know it's odd that 9 Biden family members received money from foreign nationals. They know it's odd that Biden's have all these shell companies to launder money, right? So the IRS got rid of their team that was investigating the Bidens because clearly you have tax evasion issues here. If you Google the word racketeering, it pops up what the Bidens are doing with creating these fake companies to launder money, to disguise money, to deceive the IRS. That's what they were doing. So they can remove the IRS team. They can put their own hacks in there in charge of this. But we're going to continue to show the American people all these fake companies, all this questionable and probably illegal money they're getting from foreign nationals all over the world. And the American people are eventually going to figure this out and demand change.
So it does sound like they're trying to slow down or stop this investigation from within.
No question. The IRS is, the FBI is.
They'll go after you for a $600 payment on Venmo, but on this, they'll drag their feet.
Well, when Joe Biden talks about tax cheats, we're going to go, you know, when he says in his old frail, decrepit voice, we're going to go after tax cheat. He needs to look in the mirror. He needs to look at his Christmas photo, okay? Because the way they set those LLCs up, the odds of them paying their fair of taxes, if any taxes on that, are slim to none.
Mm-hmm.
So he needs to start at home when he talks about tax cheats. We don't need to hire 87,000 new IRS employees. We need to get, you know, we need to start with the people that clearly are creating entities to deceive the IRS. And that starts with the Biden.
And it starts with them. And that leads me to really my last question with this. Because the 170 suspicious activity reports from the banks, they, you know, that kind of that they saw that they thought it was something's not right. They flagged it. But somebody in the FBI had to know. I mean, they had to know about the Biden family's ties with, you know, a geopolitical foe, with the CEFC. So what did they know and why didn't they do anything about it? Or if they did, where's the proof?
Senator Grassley and I are negotiating with the FBI right now. Why won't you tell us whether or not you looked into the Grassley whistleblower's claim? We know that 1023 form exists.
Yeah.
We want to know what the FBI did, if anything, to investigate the validity of the claim. This is a claim that when Joe Biden was vice president, he engaged in a quid pro quo with a foreign national. This is a very serious claim. I don't think anyone has ever been alleged in the history of our United States, in the history of the office of president, has ever been accused of doing anything like that. And we want to know simply, FBI, did you look into this? If so, what did you find?
Mm.
They won't tell us. I mean, it has all the makings of a cover-up from the FBI all the way down to the IRS.
This is going
to
be a movie someday. Better think about who's going to play you, Congressman. Congressman James Comer, it's a pleasure to see you. Thank you so much for fighting so hard for all of us on getting these answers. I mean, it is a national security issue, and we want to know. We appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Of course.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Ooh, boy. So a Florida man rescued his dog from the jaws of an alligator last Friday. No, this is not the one story of the video. This is a brand new dude with his brand new dog. Well, it wasn't brand new, but it's a new story. So according to Florida Fish and Wildlife, because they had to come out and trap it, it was a 12-foot gator. So this guy and his girlfriend, they were walking their dog at Riverside Park along the Little Econ River when an alligator snatched the dog. The guy jumped onto the alligator's back and began raining blows to save the dog. And, whoo boy, the dog was saved, I think. They don't really give a lot of updates about it, but police are like, you guys got to be really careful, once again, about walking your dogs near any bodies of water. How many times do we got to say this? I don't know what I would. I think I would actually dismember the gator. I think I would. I think I would have like a superhuman strength, and I would rip its arms off and then beat it with him, with its own arms, legs, the legs. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Also, I wanted to be correct about that. A suspect was arrested for stealing, a Florida man, two endangered tortoises from a zoo. And then one was a rare Galapagos tortoise. And they found it in his freezer. Joshua McCarty Thomas. They said they found one of the rare tortoises alive in the yard. The other one was dead in the freezer. Oh, my gosh. They look like little, like, ancient people. Like, they're real, little Galapagos tortoises. So they found them, and I really want this guy. I'm just saying, if he slipped and fell in prison, I wouldn't cry. That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to be nice here. We have our third hour on the way. Stick with us.
He's going to devastate our economy. Tourism, construction, agriculture. I mean, you're going to have vegetables rotting in the fields. You're going to have construction sites that will lie dormant, or certainly will struggle to get workers to be able to help make sure that they can make progress. The tourism and restaurant industry in particular, you know, rely on these workers.
That seems, Kane, seems a little racist. R-A-Y-S-I-S. Racist. Just saying. Welcome. Welcome back to the program. Top of our third hour. Your lovable curmudgeon here with you. Dana Lash. You can listen to the radio program across the country from sea to shining sea. Ladies and gentlemen, you can also stream it. You can watch the simulcast YouTube, Facebook, always good discussion at YouTube, and Channel 347 Direct TV. Well, it sounds like she's got a first world problem there, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She says that Ron DeSantis' tough immigration bill means all these jobs are going to go undone. The vegetable, I mean, literally, she says the vegetables are going to rot in the fields. Who's going to pick vegetables? Did it ever occur to Democrats that people who immigrate to the United States might do more than that? Did it ever occur? I'm just curious. I mean, I can name a whole bunch of people who came to the United States, immigrated to the United States, that make a lot more money than she does and are a lot more successful. I'm just saying, maybe, why don't she go out there and pick them vegetables? Just, you know, question. They're flipping out over DeSantis's immigration law. They're acting like, oh, no. There's no one going to be able to work on construction sites or farms.
Shut down tourism.
All the tourism's going to shut down. The sun's going to go away. It's going to come out and be like, why should I even shine? And then it's going to go back behind some clouds or wherever the sun goes. What are we going to do?
I don't want the sun to go away.
Why do you hate Earth? The moon's going to stop coming out. Everything's going to die. That's what they're saying. This is, I mean, not literally, but pretty much, not verbatim, but pretty much. I was reading this piece at Vox. Listen to this. They're all sharing these talking points. It's from Vox. The videos from Florida aren't hard to find. Dozens of clips of empty fields, abandoned construction sites, and scores of truck drivers calling for boycotts. All across the state, it's racked up hundreds of thousands of views on TikTok and Twitter over the last month. The common thread? Fear. Frustration. Over the state's newest anti-immigrant law. Signed by Satan, the governor of Florida. No, they didn't say it like that, but they might as well. Signed by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, which mandates that businesses with 25 or more employees verify the citizenship status of workers through the federal online portal E-Verify, or they face stronger penalties. Well, how is that anti-immigrant? Wait a minute. So is this like when they said you can't say gay in Florida and I went to Florida and yelled gay and nothing happened? I mean, I was in Palm Beach and I was out there like, gay! Nothing happened.
You weren't arrested?
I was so totally not arrested.
Wow.
I mean, people looked at me like I was weird, but nobody arrested me. It's especially fun to do in the lobbies of nice restaurants. just yell gay out, you know, randomly. Just, you know, a nice big random gay, and then, you know. Yeah, but the, yeah, is this what this is like? Because no one's saying, no, immigrants cannot come here. No, literally no one's saying that. People are saying, hey, can you come in legally? And businesses, can you make sure that you're hiring people that themselves are not going to be exploited by cartels? And who are the Democrats working for? Because the stuff that Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Vox are writing here, it's like the cartels wrote this. Did the cartels write this for you? I'm just wondering. How dare Ron DeSantis have this, put anti-immigrant law. Yeah, that sounds like he hates all immigrants. This anti-immigrant law. They should not have you verify. They need more people to come and do these jobs that we can bring for them across the Rio. That's what it sounds like. They say that they get into, oh, these business. I mean, when I was reading this article, and quite frankly, it sounds a little bigoted-y. They act like the only jobs that people coming into the country would do are like vegetable picking. And why, by the way, why is that the shared point? Can I just point out how you can tell the talking points went out and not any of them are bright enough to be like, maybe let's not all say the same thing. Like, you get vegetable picking and then I'll take highway construction and you can have something else. No, they all like, oh, vegetable picking, that's a good one. And they all claimed it and they're all saying it. Like, is that, that just makes you all look like bigger racists. How do these people win anything? That's how I get a million questions.
You know, they've been using the vegetable picking thing too for not just like recently. It's been decades and decades that they've been, since the 80s.
You know what's crazy? I have eaten vegetables since then. In that time, how did I get them?
How did it happen?
How did I have these vegetables? How did I have them? Gosh. These people are so ridiculous. I can't. They're trying so hard to act like this is, oh, can you believe, they're clutching their pearls. They're all freaking out. Oh, they just can't. They can't believe it. So the other thing that a lot of people have been talking about is AM radio is being removed from cars. Now, obviously, we are a nationally syndicated radio program, and then we also have the streaming and the podcast archive and then the simulcast. Do you think, Kane, as has been promoted, that this is an attack on conservative talk?
Oh, absolutely. Well, first of all, people have to understand, and this was evident in the 80s and into the 90s, that whenever there was liberal talk networks or liberal talk stations that would go on, they would quickly run, they'd go out of business because they sucked, number one, and they couldn't generate the revenue in order to start. Then you saw NPR come. It's like, how does NPR survive? They got tax money from us to survive. So, yeah, I think that AM signals, if you're looking at it from a cost perspective, someone to buy an AM signal is a lot cheaper than buying an FM signal, number one. And number two, if you're serving your community, AM has been, I mean, for as long as I can remember and even longer, has been where you turn to for weather reports or different community alerts when there are bad weather or things like that. I think it's a bad move.
Because I don't know how I land on that. If I think that it's they're trying to target conservative radio, or if there's a legitimate reason. Like, one of the things that I heard is that in electric vehicles specifically, the electric engine interferes with the sound of AM stations. I don't know how that would be, but
there's something to that. AM can have a little bit of a buzz to it if you don't have it grounded properly. And a lot of times, if it's an all electric car, I think it's going to be hard to discharge some of that interference.
But then you have companies or auto manufacturers like Ford, and they're like, we're taking it out of everything, even non-electric. So then that makes me wonder.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of conservative talk in general on the air, but on AM, there is a majority. FM is usually for music and other programming,
we're
now
on
sports.
A lot of FM stations.
There's some FM talks out there, and we're on a lot of them, if not all of them. But the AM stations have been that bread and butter for talk for so long, and I think, I don't know, I think it can be looked at as some attack on conservatism.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I feel at the very least that it is, I mean, at the very least, it's kind of like a hit at it. I don't want to, and I know I have a lot of colleagues that have said that, oh, it's an absolute attack on conservative talk. And I don't know if I believe that it's an outright attack on conservative talk, because conservative thinkers, et cetera, we've done so good on so many other platforms as well. But the, I don't know, taking it out of the gas models, to me, I'm like, well, why would you do that then? Just to prepare for, I don't know, I don't know.
You're not saving a ton of money by not putting it in there. And you're not wasting a bunch of money by putting it in there. It's like, it's very cheap to do, and it's one of our simplest technologies.
They've been trying to say that talk radio is dead for forever, and it's not. It's still, it's very much not. I saw some inside numbers that I can't even actually publish. I might secretly take screenshots. I'm going to get a call right after I said this. Watch. I'll get a text from you-know-who. Watch. I'm waiting. Yeah, he totally is. We know who you are, Mr. H. We know where you are out there. So... No, my point is that it's definitely not, but it's just, it is just weird that that's the thing that they rush to take out. Yeah. And it also makes me, there's another reason why I hate electric. Yeah. Not just because of the sanctimonious behavior of all the people who act like it's better for the environment, but also it's the one gadget I actually hate. I've never hated a gadget before. Who am I? I literally bought like a little handheld stick vacuum because one of my friends had one. I was like, this is the most amazing thing ever. And I was helping to clean up after a grad party and I wouldn't let anyone else use it. I was like, this is my toy. Get away. Get away. And I love gadgets. It's like a giant gadget and I hate it. I don't know. Anyway, I'm still kind of solidifying my, I don't know. I think it's a full-on attack. I had a conversation
with Sergio about this because, you know, he's down on AM station down KURV in McAllen area. And we thought that, you know, this could help usher some more technology for these AM stations where they have their own apps where you can hear a much cleaner signal just through their app. And you can hear that app through your in-dash display. So you can actually get your AM station in your car if you want. It's just through the app, through an app.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Better audio quality.
Yeah, good audio. Yeah, I agree with that. We have more to come. I know we got Texas Governor Greg Abbott on border issues. I wanted to get into psychos organizing their pantries. I saw this news story of some celebrity's pantry. And I was like, why do they put their... Who gets a package of cookies and takes them out and then organizes them like a garden wall in a jar? Who does that other than psychos? I made this mention to Kane. I mentioned this to Kane, that I think people believe that their pantries, like people who have time and apparently help, that their pantries are supposed to look like the psychological marketing of a store where people went to school for merchandising to learn how to do it.
Right.
Stop it. It's a pantry. Stop it. You freaks. It's weird. It's not supposed to look like that. Like, who has an entire basket of raisins? One of those Kardashian people, I saw the story come up, had all her raisins in a basket. And the basket said raisins. If you were too stupid to read the packages that said raisins in the basket that was labeled raisins. Why? Stop it, you freaks.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
They need to put this back right now. Horror movies about world's ending start like this. An ancient tablet found on Mount Ebal predates any known Hebrew inscriptions. It is an Israeli European team of scientists. They performed an X-ray tomographic measurement with different scanning parameters to reveal the hidden text. You know what the hidden text says? You want to know what the hidden text says? You're cursed by God. Put it back! See, bad things happen when you get stuff like this. I'm not joking. That literally was a story. I had it in my headlines. And, you know, this is why we said to put it back. I'm sure this is just a totally crazy coincidence. Totally crazy. There were two earthquakes that occurred 1 second apart on different fault lines jostling around San Diego County. Just saying. No, it's not because of like seasonal changes. It's not because this is a typical earth behavior. It's because someone found that stone tablet and took it out and it had something like scary on it. Put it back. That's what I'm saying. That's all we're saying. Like, don't be doing this stuff. Like, why do people do this? Also, Joe Biden versus Eric Adams. There's an interesting deep dive about this. Axios had the fight between the New York City mayor and Joe Biden because Eric Adams kind of like hit at him about immigration. And now he's being cold shouldered. He may not have a political career after this. I mean, I don't really, I don't, I mean, he's still a Democrat and he's still kind of crazy on a whole bunch of stuff, but that was, you know, kind of a, that's a very interesting. Also, people not in the labor force who want a job has dropped to a new low. I put this in your, if you see this, I have this in your prep that I put in over at Chapter and Verse. This comes from Bureau of Labor Statistics. It's not very good. In fact, I mean, the last low it hit was in April of 2019, but they said that persons not in the labor force who want a job, who are not like seasonally adjusted, they're not in the labor force and they don't want a job. It's kind of a new, it's low. It's a new high. New high, but it's at low, but it's a new record high. It's, I'm brain fried. It's graduation season.
It's a new high
season.
Of people who are pulling themselves off of.
Thank you. Yeah. And Kim Gardner resigned a couple of weeks earlier than expected. Did you guys see this? She wasn't supposed to step out for a couple of weeks, but she tweeted a statement out yesterday saying that she's stepping down effective immediately. Good for St. Louis. Wow, good for St. Louis. Now they can get someone in there who actually wants to do the job and not just go to nursing school. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store. Texas Governor Greg Abbott next.
Whether you just want to stay informed or just hear her vent about all the ridiculousness in the world, make sure to download the Dana Show podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Is our border secure?
Our border is secure. Border is secure because we are maximizing our resources to deliver the most effective results to our border with the most extraordinary workforce in the world.
I mean, I thought that there was a big crisis there, but apparently it's all taken care of. If you listen to Karine Jean-Pierre, if you listen to Alejandro Mayorkas, as you just heard there, even the President of the United States joining us right now. And by the way, welcome back to the program. You can listen coast to coast, watch the simulcast. Texas Governor Greg Abbott joins us via Skype. Governor, a pleasure to have you. I guess it's good news to hear that everything at the border is fine, all secure. That's what the Biden administration says. You just watched that video from Alejandro Mayorkas. Your response.
If only. You know, they've been saying the same thing ever since Biden has been in office. I've never seen any office holders be so dishonest as Joe Biden and Mayorkas. No one believes Mayorkas. And the spokesperson in the White House for Joe Biden has been just as dishonest. Remember when she said, oh, migrants don't just walk across the border.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they walk across the border every single day. They don't have a clue. What's going on? You know what? I take that back. They may know exactly what's going on. I candidly think that the chaos that they have created in this country is exactly what the Biden administration has wanted to achieve. And it is disgusting as one reason why we must eliminate Joe Biden as president of the United States.
Yeah, and this, and of course, the southern border issue, we've seen the number of gotaways that we've been going over the numbers regularly throughout the week of all these different sectors. I think it's up like 7,500 crossings per day in some of the most populous sectors here that we've been seeing. A lot. I know you've sent a lot of National Guard down. I know there are 24 other states that have also, which I thought was very kind of them to help Texas with the burden that the federal government has imposed on us, Governor. And I know you appreciate the help. You've tweeted as such. Tell us a little bit about what that looks like, because I know from just, you know, history with the DOJ under Barack Obama and Jan Brewer that you can't, you know, they can't be used to, you know, they can't arrest people and deport them, but you can try to repel. Tell people what that looks like, because there is a limitation on what actually can be done, as insane as that is.
Well, so first I'll tell you about the limitation, then I'll tell you what we're doing. That we explored different ways to respond to this, and we now have an effective tool in place. But first, the prohibition is found in Title 18, Section 242, and it says basically if you kidnap an alien and hold them against their will, which would be including taking them to wherever, you could be put in jail for life, and that's what Merrick Garland would love to do. So we have to operate within the confines of federal law to make sure that we don't have our law enforcement officers or our National Guard arrested. That said, what we have found that we are capable of doing legally, but also physically, and achieve great results, is repelling them, not allowing them across the border into Texas. You've seen this prolifically ever since Title 42 was lifted, where we have these razor wire barricades. And what you cannot tell from what you see on TV is the number of miles that we have of this. Mile after mile after mile is what National Guard engineering teams have put up. And those very same miles, we have National Guard soldiers as well as Texas Department of Public Safety officers on the Texas side of that wire, making sure nobody gets through it. So we have it down in the Brownsville area. We have it in the McAllen area. We have it in the Del Rio and Eagle Pass areas and in the El Paso area. We began this project last year and found it to be successful. We trained highly skilled elite National Guard forces to go down there and be involved in the process of repelling. That said, to tie back into your question, Dana, the National Guard, as well as law enforcement officers in other states, have seen with pride what Texas is doing, blocking and preventing people from crossing our border illegally. They want to be a part of that. And so we're getting requests by these other states, Idaho and Florida already, others will be coming on board also, to lend their National Guard or their law enforcement officers who are patriots of America, who believe that our border should be secured, our sovereignty should be protected. They want to be a part of that process by being part of repelling and turning back people who are trying to cross the border illegally.
And that really, that's, and I'm glad that they're doing it. You said that, you know, really this southern border is everybody's border as well. And Texas has spent a lot of dollars that, you know, we shouldn't have to because of this administration's policies. How many tax dollars have we spent dealing with Joe Biden's policies, Governor?
Last session, Texas taxpayers came out of our own money, $4.5 billion. I'm about to sign another budget for another $4.5 billion, more than $9 billion altogether. Part of that is to deploy the National Guard and DPS officers to the border. Part of it is that Texas is the only state ever to build our own border wall. That border wall is the exact same wall that President Trump was putting up, and we had gone through the process of acquiring the land rights so that we're going to put mile after mile after mile up of the border wall, which does serve as a protector of our border. So we're putting up the border wall, deploying National Guard, deploying Department of Public Safety officers. And Dana, I'm about to sign some other laws. One of the most disgusting things I have observed throughout this episode, our fellow Texans, including a woman who works in a district attorney's office, have been a part of aiding the cartels by smuggling people illegally in our state. And so I'm working on passing a law that will make it a mandatory minimum sentence of 10 years behind bars for anybody caught smuggling illegal immigrants in the state of Texas. Also, we're working on a law that will make it a felony state crime for someone to enter the state of Texas from Mexico or from some other foreign country, that we will put them behind bars for a very long time for entering Texas illegally.
And that's, I mean, these are all smart workarounds to get around this. I mean, I'd say it's his policy. He doesn't have a policy. Talking with Texas Governor Greg Abbott. You also, Governor, were sending some people who entered the country illegally, entered Texas, to the vice president's neighborhood in Washington, D.C., in addition to sending some to New York and sending some elsewhere. They are sanctuary cities. It is only logical that they pay their fair share. Eric Adams and Lori Lightfoot, they've all said that, outgoing Mayor Lori Lightfoot have all said that they don't have the resources to deal with this. Governor, it seems like they have way more resources than, you know, a town like McAllen, Texas, or any of these other border towns.
To be clear, they were sanctuary cities before they had to actually live up to what they said they wanted to do. And remember, Mayor Adams, he's trying to disband the providing homes and things like that for people who are going to New York. But when he does so, he's forcing veterans of the United States military out of their hotel rooms and filling those rooms instead with people who have entered this country illegally. But Dan, it's important that you and your audience know this. What we are really doing, we are aiding our small local communities, Del Rio, Eagle Pass, communities like that, that they don't have the ability to have these people in their communities. And we have to relieve the congestion in these small Texas border towns. And so we provide the buses and bus them to New York, to Chicago, to other locations across the entire country, most of which are these large cities that have the capability of accommodating these large number of illegal immigrants. And now it's time for these other states, these other communities, to shoulder part of the burden that's caused by Joe Biden. If these cities have a complaint, they need to call the person who created the problem, and that is Joe Biden, and get Joe Biden to fix it. Remember this, it was just last week that the United States Congress, Republicans in the House, they passed an immigration reform, really a border security plan. All Joe Biden has to do is get the Senate to agree with it and sign it, and we could overnight have a more secure border. But Joe Biden could care less about delivering results. He just wants to deliver illegal immigrants into the United States of America.
And they can't track them either, Governor. I know you were aware that New York Times expose where a number of children brought in by drug cartels dropped off. Alejandro Mayorkas is on a Zoom call where he's encouraging people to go through and get this stuff going faster. Other Biden officials doing the same thing. A lot of these government contractors that had partnered with the Biden administration didn't want to work with them anymore because they said, we, as the New York Times reported, you lost contact of 100,000 kids, like kids under the age of 18. I mean, that's all of the compassion that Democrats talk about, Governor, I never see directed to that problem that they have created regarding the border.
Think how outrageous. Think what the media would be saying that had been Donald Trump, who had lost 100,000 kids who were in the country illegally. There would be outrage. But with Biden, it's total silence. But it is outrageous what Biden has done. And you've seen the polling numbers for Biden because of the way he's handled immigration and the border. That alone may be enough for the people of the United States to unelect Joe Biden this next election cycle.
There you go. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, always appreciate it. Appreciate you signing. I saw the energy bill that you just signed a little earlier. Wanted to thank you for that as well. Thank you, Governor. Good to see you. Thanks for your fight on this.
Thank you, Dana.
Of course.
To catch up on all the headlines and crazy wokery, download the Dana Show podcast and get Dana's perspective on the Dana Show.
Get us, gaslight us up here as if Antifa, which Mr. Rosas, apparently the expert now in organized terrorist activity, has overruled the FBI director, who says, there's a headline, says Antifa is an ideology, not an organization. No. Let's not listen to the FBI director. Let's listen to, sorry, what's your title? Senior writer at Town Hall, who is going to tell us that the FBI director is wrong. And I'd like to introduce, there's no question.
So this is, first off, Congressman Daniel Goldman, in a hearing just yesterday on Capitol Hill, insulting our friend Julio Rosas, who's done an amazing job at covering for how many years now? All the riots. He's a Marine, a fantastic journalist. And did you hear the condescension from Congressman Goldman? I mean, oh, dear Lord, put a hand over my mouth right now. But you don't have to say that because you need to listen to the way that our friend Julio responded.
Thing that one of my colleagues said about you a little while ago, I'd like to give you time to go ahead and do that.
Yeah, thank you, Congressman. Well, I think it's funny to be lectured by an heir to the Levi Strauss Corporation. And honestly, that's probably why he doesn't consider property damage to be that big of a deal, because not only does he have that, but he also has what some would describe an impossibly good stock portfolio. But what I can tell you is that in these riots that happened 3 years ago.
I don't think I could be more best friends with an audio soundbite if I tried. Oh, my gosh. He's going to need, man, Goldman's going to need some ice for that burn. Can you imagine lecturing someone? Rosas. Oh, for the love. Good job, Julio. And I thought his answer was absolutely spot on perfect. It was spot on perfect. And that's it. I mean, he's seen it. He's been there. He has been in all of these. He's broken some major exclusives. And the idea that this congressman is going to sit there and insult him like this just because he wants to protect Antifa or BLM or something like that, that's just insulting. It's so insulting. But I love that. I loved his response. That was fantastic. It's a great response. So we got a lot of graduates, a lot of people graduating this year. I have another son graduating high school. It's that season. It's crazy season right now. And just a congratulations to all of our graduates, everyone out there. And they, these kids that are graduating, man, they've gone through a tough couple of years with the lockdowns and the pandemics and everything else and having to do some remote learning. And I have to tell you that my son who's graduating this week, when he was mad about the remote learning and all of that, and he showed up to his classes remotely in a red hat. Yeah, it was that red hat. He wore a red hat. Everybody's parents took screenshots of him because they thought it was hysterical. But he's a smart young man. He's graduating with honors, and he's got a scholar's diploma, and he got some more great news about where he's going to. I think he'll probably be at some point, if AI ever decides to declare war against us, I think he's probably going to be involved in that. He's going into programming and all that good stuff. And I don't even know what he does, honestly. Can I just tell? I just make sure that he's not talking to like kid touchers and stuff. That's what, you know, I'm like, don't be talking to no kid touchers. Don't be talking to no catfishers. Don't be doing none of that. That's all I can do. But he's incredibly smart, and I'm so proud of all these kids for persevering and getting through everything that they had to get through, all this nonsense over the past couple of years. So don't stop. And the most important thing I can tell any graduate is that really ultimately you're going to be stressed out, and it's all about from time to time, and it's all about a matter of perspective. The stress has never changed. Your attitude about it can change, and that's how you manage it. So good luck and congrats to all these graduates out there. Huge, huge things. We're very proud of them. So make sure that you go and subscribe to Chapter and Verse over at Substack, because we're going to have some stuff that comes out on that. You guys know I got some graduation stuff to attend to, but if anything major breaks, I'll have something up there for you. And we've got Lorraine, who's going to be helping to hold down the fort there as well. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
And Juan, this is Cut 15 if you want to play, because I know you have the video of it. This is NBC's Ben Collins. Now, he's so upset since Elon's taken over Twitter that claiming that when you search the word cat on Twitter, you literally see the death of a cat. Listen.
Is that a big talking point on the right now is, look, Twitter just got rid of 90% of its staff and operates just the same. And by the way, no, it does not.
Right.
You know, you are searching for the word cat, and you get a cat literally inside of a blender being blended to death.
Oh. Don't want to talk about that on like TV. That. Yeah, yeah.
That is what's going on.
Somebody who doesn't care about life did
that's
that.
Because... Yeah. He ripped out the wire.
So Twitter's fault.
That's all. It's all Twitter's fault. Not the fault of the people that are putting it up there. It's all Twitter's fault.
So Ben Collins, stupid.
Yeah. Was he? Golly. This is why nobody likes our press. Really. Yeah. Folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you find us on YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe. We'll have those guest interviews up for you. God bless. Have a wonderful evening. Congrats to the graduates. I'll be back with you on Monday.